Welcome to The Pen and the Yad. Join Rabbi Michael Siegel from Ach Chaim Synagogue and author Jonathan Eig as they talk about this week's Torah portion of Mitzorah. We are all vulnerable.
Have you ever been ill to a point where you had to go through rehabilitation?
No, I'm happy to say, other than like, you know, some minor injuries, like, you know, broken arm, nothing serious.
I have in my life, and I had some surgery on my hip many years ago, actually, twice. And each time I had to kind of learn to walk again. So a big part of it was physical therapy. And it's a very humbling experience, but it's also exhilarating in its own way. Right? So I guess it raises the question of how do you heal from illness? And I bring this up because there are two portions, Tazria Mitzorah, and both have as the theme this illness in the biblical age of Mitzorah and or Tzara'at. And what's interesting is that this week's portion, last week's portion, talks about the illness, how to diagnose it, how to quarantine a person. But this week's portion is going to talk about what happens after the person has been cured. In other words, whatever the skin malady was has now passed. And so the person is brought back into the community, and there's a very elaborate ritual that goes along with it. So the first question is, once you're cured, why do you need this elaborate ritual? And the second question is, what goes into that ritual? So any thoughts about why you would need this elaborate ritual to bring a person back into society?
Well, I don't know. I think there's a lot of potential reasons that come to mind. I think, you know, first of all, when you're sick or disconnected in some way, there's a period of assimilation. You know, you have to get back into the groove, and you may feel like you're not the same, that you're weaker, that you're damaged in some way, and society might view you as damaged, right? Like looking at you in a sort of a leery way, and can see where it might be difficult for people to come back when other people are looking at them as having been sick.
Especially if it's a serious illness that people fear. Now, in that age, it was Tzara'at, and in our age, it could be cancer. It could be a lot of things. And so in a way, we don't always know how to deal with that person. And especially with Tzara'at, which was contagious, do we fear that person? Can I really be around that person? So in a way, by bringing that person into the temple or the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and going through this elaborate ritual system, it was a way of saying, this person has now been returned to society. God has allowed for that person to be returned to society, and so you must as well. Right? You see how that kind of would go together psychologically.
It occurs to me that we all feel that way when we hear somebody's just getting over COVID or even, you know, as you said, you know, with cancer, we wonder, you know, how they're really doing. And there's a little bit of nervousness. And then I think about people with mental health issues and how judging society can be around that. You know, if you've been through a bout of depression or if you've been hospitalized for some other mental health issues, you know, there's this fear of going back that you're going to be judged, and that you're going to be seen as damaged in some way. And I think that's a real challenge for all of us.
When somebody said, I had COVID, and then you might kind of casually ask, well, how many days were you quarantined? Right. And then, oh, it's no big deal. You know, then you might want to take a step back or get your mask. Those are very real issues for us, but it's also on the part of the person who is ill. And it's interesting that as part of this ritual, the priest would bring two pure birds, cedar wood, crimson, hyssop, and they're all part of this ritual. And what the rabbis take note of is that cedar wood comes from the tallest tree, right? Calls plant, cedar tree. And hyssop is a kind of grass, so it's the lowest kind of plant. And so what they say is that illness affects everyone, the mightiest to the weakest. And so it's a sign that you could just as easily have been you, right? So this is something that we need to be aware of. I think that's a powerful issue just for us to think about. that illness affects all of us.
Yeah. You know, I just got done reading this book that comes out next month. I got an early copy of it called Profiles in Mental Health Courage. And it's written by Patrick Kennedy, you know, the title taken from JFK's Profiles in Courage. And it's all about people struggling with different forms of mental health challenges, from addiction to bipolar. And, you know, it's a lifelong journey, as I'm sure you know. I'm sure you've known people who've struggled with mental health issues. And it never ends. For many people, it's just part of their lifelong journey. But the hardest part many times is that perception in the public that they're somehow damaged, that they're not reliable husbands, fathers, employers, employees. And it was just so interesting to read this book and to read in their own words how people grappled with that and how they sort of had to fight the stigma that comes with having been ill.
And you kind of have to struggle on multiple counts, because mental illness, it's still not seen as an everyday possible occurrence. It's not something that can happen to everyone. And too often people think that it's only the weak. You know, I was in Israel recently, and because of the war, because of October 7th, now that we're at the six-month mark, PTSD is very much on people's minds. And the people at Natal, people we visited with as part of this tour, spoke about the philosophy that they use in Israel. Because in Israel, you can only imagine, I mean, think about it. The people who fought in the 48 war, many of whom had a few years earlier been in concentration camps.
Right.
So these are people who lived in hell, and then they had to get passage to get to Israel. Some of them were put in Cyprus, they were put in DP camps. So, and then they finally get to Israel, and as soon as they get to Israel, the war is declared, and somebody hands them a gun, and they may have never fought before. But there was never a moment when the people talked about mental illness. You just didn't deal with it.
That's right.
You just went forward. And what we learned from the people at Natal is that that Israel still was struggling with this idea that only in this war, only in the war that began on October 7th, did the Israeli army take post-traumatic stress disorder seriously. And so there's now psychologists embedded in every unit, and they're watching soldiers, and they will pull them off of their duties to kind of sit with them to see how they're doing. There used to be an onerous path to getting help for PTSD. And I'm sorry to say that Israel was not particularly friendly to those people. They would have to petition the government, petition the army. And it was a very hard process, which is no longer in effect. And so in a population where large percentages of the population are going to be suffering from PTSD, the country is going to have to lean into it. And what the people were talking about was, they don't like to use the term post-traumatic stress disorder. What they call it is post-traumatic growth. How do you face the challenge of trauma and go forward in a more positive way? Because once you use the word disorder, mm-hmm. then you're sort of tagged with it. You know, right. They have that. Oh, you know, they have PTSD. You just know that when you talk to this person, as opposed to saying, you know, they dealt with trauma and now they're on this new road.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting issue.
Yeah. The language is powerful there. Just as I think sometimes we switch from talking about mental illness to mental health issues. And I think that's a positive change, because when you talk about mental health, it's just like talking about physical health. It's something we have to work on. And, you know, in this podcast, you and I often bemoan the state of the world. But I think this is one area where we've seen huge progress in our lifetime, and we've seen more acceptance of people with mental health issues. And I think it goes back to what you were saying about how the society has a responsibility to welcome people back from illness, and to really do that in a concerted way, to make that effort.
And this transition in wartime is, I think, really impressive to me, because you could just as easily say that, you know, if your heart's not in it, you're going to bring the whole platoon down, so you better buck up. Right? One can easily understand it. Get a hold of yourself. Get out there. especially in a society, Israeli society, where, you know, there's a kind of a bravado amongst Israelis, right? That, you know, we're tough and, you know, we're not going to be held back. That was, I think, doubly hard. And so it is important, because it's not a measure of your greatness or your toughness, right? Illness, and I think mental illness, can strike anyone. That hyssop and cedar analogy really does apply. And when it happens, it's not a sign of your weakness. It's just something that you have to deal with, just like any other illness.
That's right. And the support of the community can help you recover faster and also make you feel less alone.
I think that's exactly right. So in a very real way, I think this very ancient system kind of leads us back to what we talked about last week, which is that whole mitzorah issue of how the rabbis took the word mitzorah and talked about the use of language, of not being a talebearer, can also be understood in this context by the language that we use around mental illness. And so using a term like post-traumatic growth, I think, can really put people on a different path as far as how they conceptualize someone who has, you know, experienced trauma.
No, I couldn't agree more. I think that's a great way of thinking about it, a great way of reframing it. The trauma's there. Calling it the growth that comes after the trauma is a great way of framing it so that syndrome doesn't stick with you.
Well, on that note, I thank you for joining me in this conversation. So we have once again waded through the choppy waters of Tazria and Mitzorah, and we're off to new ideas next week.
Thanks.